Okay, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Actually, we've studied ahead and backed up, studied ahead and backed up. I could probably spend the rest of my life in this portion of Scripture where we are tonight. There are so many fundamentally sound things that are totally neglected by the church as a whole. People that call themselves Christians. Generally, as a general rule, the church has made the same mistakes that Israel has made. You know, when God gave the Jews the opportunity to be under the law, they said, all that the Lord hath what? All that he's spoken, we will do. Now, if you think for one moment, God is infinite, God is perfect, his will is infinite. It's impossible for us to do all the things that the Lord has spoken. So the nation of Israel put themselves under the law, and they were deceived into believing that they could actually keep it. You know, and no one can. Well, now we come into the church age. And in the church age, the Lord came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law, to what? Redeem them that were under the law. Redeem them, why? Because no one can keep the law. It establishes our guilt. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So if we keep that in mind then, just as far as personal conduct and so forth, good conduct is always better than bad. We're not saying be as wild as you can be. But given the right set of circumstances, we will be as wild as we can be. It's not ideal, but we will. We have a sin nature. And as long as we have that sin nature, and we're not going to lose it until the day of the resurrection, you know, which or the day of our death will be translated, our soul and spirit will be translated into a body that the Lord has prepared in heaven at the time of our deaths. But one of these days, and it's not far off, if we watch what's going on in the world, this thing with Israel and the hatred that is being built up against Israel, the Roman Church was very much anti-Semitic. They blamed the Jews for the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Now, if they had any understanding at all, they would recognize that this was a designed plan by God. God is an omniscient God. Because he's omniscient, he knows everything. And because he knows everything, he knew what Adam and Eve would do. He knew what you or I in any given situation might do. And the bottom line with it, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're incapable of doing what the Jews said. When they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, I attended three different Bible colleges. And in each of them, you would know, from what was being taught, the students, everyday living, all this type of thing, you would think we're still under the law. And that somehow or other, you, me, that we can go out on the street and grab somebody, start talking to them, and save their soul, or get them to believe on the Lord. Well, we might get a fellow that's doesn't appreciate it, and so he eventually says, I believe, just to get rid of you. But no one that's foreordained to salvation will fail to receive that salvation. We were chosen in Christ when?
Before
the foundation of the world. Now think about that. God, as an omniscient God, he knows everything. He knows everything, past, present, future, all at one time. Now, that's difficult for us to, you know, to bring into our finite minds. But when Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if they would, they would surely die that day, you know. God knew they were going to, that Eve was going to be deceived. And he knew that God, that Adam was going to also eat out of his love for his wife, you know. There's no surprises with God. And really, it gets down to the point in time. To begin to think of God in the revelation that God has given us from his word. You know? And let's think about just the salvation of souls. And you know, we're constantly being told, pray for this one, pray for that one. And it's a proper thing to do. We want souls to be saved. And the very fact that we pray for their souls makes us proactive. You know, so that when we have the opportunity, we share the truth. Only God can save a soul. You know, I can preach the Word of God. I can teach the Word of God. But I have no capacity whatsoever to save a single soul. You know. It'd be very easy when I came back here in 1960. let all the Eugene Springfield area be saved. All done. Okay, now I'm going to go fishing. I never was a good fisherman. Anyway, no, it's not that way. Faith comes how?
Hearing.
By hearing. Hearing what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. From whom?
God.
It has to be from people who are believers, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the Jews, you know, I don't know why people get on the Jews' back so much. They call them Christ killers and everything else, when the Scripture is very clear that Christ died for the sins of whom? The whole world. So, as we begin here, let's start at verse 14 of the third chapter. I know I keep backing up and standing in the same spot, but they're theologically speaking, there's so much in this chapter that isn't understood. You know, is good behavior better than bad behavior? Yes. But can your behavior affect your salvation? No. You know, we're to believe God and act according to what God says. Because the just are to live by faith, and faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. Well, faith comes by hearing, then that just goes to another verse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You know? So if you have minimal input, you're going to have what?
Minimal
output. Yeah. Now, none of us is going to be the poster boy for Christian of the Year. Because Christians, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That describes us. Describes the world as well. But just because I was saved, here we're into this. October? We're in October, aren't we? No, we just started November. Okay. So in 2 months and 2 weeks, I will be 70 years old in the Lord. Yeah. I was born again. When mom and I keep repeating this story, just simply because it shows how simple it is to get people saved. You know, you don't have to be a theologian. know. In fact, when it comes to some theological issues, the average person who professes to be a Christian doesn't know enough to give a clear testimony. You know, now, that doesn't mean that there aren't some who are very illicit, but there are far more that don't know very much, and the world looks at us and they say, and he calls himself a Christian. And who should be finding fault with anybody? Who can find fault with anybody? What's the scripture say? Now, when it says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, that's man in the generic sense of the word. So it includes the gals too. No human being is just before God by the life that he lives. We're declared to be just because Christ came, lived his life as a Jew, willingly gave himself into the hands of the Jews to be crucified, to be buried, and to rise from the dead. And in that act, he paid for the sins of the whole world, even those who don't believe on him. He paid for them all. So if people go to hell, they go to hell for one reason. They refuse to believe on him. You know, it's not, oh, I like to drink, I like to party, I like to this, I like to that. The world's got its focus on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's where we got all of our quote-unquote moral concepts. You know, a tree that reveals the difference between right and wrong. But does it do it in God's terms? No, it was in God's terms. God never would have given the commandment, you know, warn them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent beguiled Eve, and he deceived her. And he said, Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, this will make you like Elohim. She was already in the image of God. Adam was already in the image of God. You know, there was no sin nature. You know, we have a sin nature. They didn't. And so she was deceived. She ate. And then Adam, out of his love for her, also ate. And that, in God's unfolding plan of redemption, from before the foundation of the world. Why? Why be from before the foundation of the world? One verse of scripture. When was Christ crucified?
Before the foundation.
Scripturally speaking, not numerically speaking. Before the foundation of the world. So from all eternity, our God knew that he was going to create us, knew what we would do, knew what he would do. And if you think about it, attributes. One of the things that you study when you go to Bible college, or used to, I don't know what they teach anymore, but are the attributes of God. God is a holy God. God is a just God. God is a righteous God. God is an omniscient God. That is, he knows everything. There is no way that we can put the fall of man as an accident. You know, but there's no way we can blame God for it either, because Adam didn't have a sin nature. Eve didn't have a sin nature. All they had to do is obey what God said. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you know, ye shall surely die. The devil said, oh, you won't really die. Now, from our point of view, you say, well, God should have stepped in and prevented that. No, God's a God of mercy. One of the attributes of God is a merciful God. Adam and Eve in their original state required no mercy. So we need to begin to think in the scriptures, not from man's terms, but in the scriptures from God's terms. Who is God? What is God like? God is, it says God is love. You know, Well, there's all kinds of things that we call love, but the love of God is manifested in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who became a man by the virgin birth, so that he could stand in each of your steads and in my stead and bear your judgment and my judgment, but not just ours, but the judgment of the sins of the whole world. So the price has been paid. There's no reason for anyone to go to hell except their own stubbornness, foolishness, however you want to put it. You know, people get all kinds of crazy ideas, and really, when it gets right down to it, the Jews are responsible for a great many of those ideas, and the church as such, or what we call the church, is responsible for a lot of them. When I speak of the church, I think of the actual redeemed, that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. But the world thinks of the church as an organization, a building, this or that. And there isn't anybody in any one of those situations that can present what they claim they can present. Yeah. They say, we're holy. Yeah, you're declared to be holy. But as far as your conduct is concerned, it's anything but holy. Okay. So we need to begin to think in terms of God's foreknowledge. We need to think in terms of God's attributes. So as we come back here, it says, while it is said, verse 15, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. No. Well, what's the provocation? We've talked about this before. God gave the Jews the opportunity, by speaking the law to them, and they heard it, and he was willing to make a covenant with them. He knew what they would do, but what they would do, say all the Lord has spoken, we will do. That was a provocation to God. Haven't you ever looked inside your little pea brain there? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So how can we say? How can anyone say all that the Lord has spoken we will do? Impossible. The only one who could was Jesus Christ, because he's God who became a man through the virgin birth to do what we couldn't do, and then to die for our sins, because without the shedding of blood is no remission. So speaking of this, back in verse 16 of that third chapter, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. God told them not to harden their heart, but it really was a heart-to-heart that produced the concept that we can keep the law. And that same hard heart is manifested every day of the year. Yeah, worldwide. Man thinks according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He thinks he can have a right relationship with God predicated of his conduct, but it's an impossibility. There's only one way into the presence of God, and Jesus said, I am what?
The way.
He's also the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you don't have your faith in Jesus Christ, I don't care whether there's millions of Hindus in the world, Muslims in the world, false religious systems in the world. Just by virtue of their numbers, just indicates they're following the lie of the devil. Because one of the things is said towards the end of the age, and we can see it, will God find the faith? Not just faith, but faith, the specific faith that's manifested in the personal work of Christ. Will he find it on the earth when he comes? Well, we know that he will, because we know that souls are going to be saved during the tribulation period. At the end of that period, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to the earth. And so he says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Well, he was grieved with those Jews that said, at the beginning of the 40 years in the wilderness, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That was the grief. Today we'd call it a revival meeting. You know, people look at that as dedication to God. No, it's failing to operate according to the truth of the Word of God. And without faith in what God has said, God cannot be pleased. You know, people don't operate according to what the Scriptures teach or who they teach that Jesus is, who God is, how salvation comes. They operate on their emotions, as Eve did when she thought that she was missing something. The serpent beguiled her. What does that mean? Well, he told her a few lies, and she believed him. And the primary one, Elohim, you know, the plural God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be what? Like God. Now, if she had put on her little spiritual thinking cap at that point in time, she could have rebuked him by just saying, that's impossible for me to be like God by disobeying God. No. But she wasn't thinking. She thought she was going to get something more. And if you look at the cults and the false religious systems of the world, they promise all kinds of things, and they can't deliver any of them. Yeah. So, the deception, we ought to write a song like, and the deception goes on. Yeah. Because that's the world that we live in. And I was thinking about this the other day, and it has nothing to do with the Scripture. But ever since Atiyah, who was a Republican governor, got the mail-in ballot in Oregon, and he's the one that brought it up, we have not had a Republican governor since. Now, early when we first came to Eugene, we'd have a Democrat for maybe one term, maybe two. And then we'd have a Republican for one, maybe two, you know, and it changed. The mathematical possibilities of that continuing without monkey business is impossible. It's mathematically impossible that during that period of time, with a fair election, you know, what does a ballot in the hands of politicians give them? The chance to get any kind of results they want. And we saw the evidence, and we couldn't even get the Republican Party to fight for Trump. You know, they didn't like him. You know, I don't care whether you like him or dislike him. Everything that he says is going to happen has happened so far. You know, he's got a pretty good track record. But they keep trying to smear it. And this is not a political thing, because I'll tell you who the next president of the United States will be. Whoever God has chosen for that position.
That's right.
And one of the qualifications to be in that position is that you have to be a base man. God raises up the basis of men to rule. And I despise these little pissant individuals that call themselves Christians that run for political office, and all they're looking for is that vote. Yeah, because you don't see it in anything that they actually say they believe. Now, that's the end of my political statements. Let's continue. But with whom was he grieved in verse 17 of the third chapter? 40 years? Those same Jews that said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Why was it grieved with them? Because they didn't look into their own hearts and recognize their own incapabilities. They did the same thing that Eve was deceived with. When the Jews said, "Oh, the Lord has spoken, we will do," that's the same thing as saying, "I can please God by my knowledge of good and evil." But it didn't come from God. And I, like so many others, not thinking for many years, thought we got our morality from God. No, we didn't. We got it from the devil. Yeah. And that is the key. And when we recognize that it came from the devil, you know, is there good conduct? Yes. Is there bad conduct? Yes. Is it better to have good conduct than bad conduct? Yes. But your conduct, no matter what it is, will not get you into heaven. The only way into heaven is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we have to believe in a vicarious or substitutionary sacrifice in the Son of God who stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death. Yeah. But nobody goes to heaven by virtue of conduct. Anyone who thinks that they have an inheritance in heaven because of their conduct, it's sad for me to have to say that, but it's true. Those people, unless their minds are changed by the preaching of the Word of God, and part of the preaching of the Word of God is the law. And what was the law designed to do? It was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So the whole religious structure of the world, inside and outside of the canopy of Christianity, is still operating in the lie of the devil. Now, that's what they think, and that's what I think I have a little bit of authority in this respect. I attended 3 different Bible colleges, and in each one of them, pump them up, send them out, you know, win souls to Christ, win souls to Christ. You know, I have never won a soul to Christ. I've had many souls saved under my ministry, but no action of mine caused it. God chose that individual in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he used the word of God, which I preached, to quicken it to their minds so they might believe and be saved. But I didn't save them. The Lord Jesus Christ did. And so it says, "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned?" Take the helping verb out. "Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." Now, believed not? In what respect? They believed they could keep the law. When they heard it, they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." What they didn't believe is, "I can't keep the law." You know, they were steeped in the lie of the devil that said, "I'm a good person. I can please God by my life." Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, the only way that we can please God is by believing him. And all of that emphasis on human conduct is unbelief. Yeah. This is what's taught, you know, in all of the churches inside, or all of the religions in the world, both in the area of the truth in Christianity and in all of the other religious systems of the world. They all came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which by definition is what? It's man's morality. So he said, so we see, verse 19, they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, if the Jews couldn't enter in because of unbelief, what was their unbelief? Their unbelief was in their own failures, They believed they could live according to the law. They didn't believe there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. They believed, I am a good person. So unbelief here is used in an interesting way. It really, unbelief here is the Jews' manner of thinking. It's the world's manner of thinking. You know, and the world's manner of thinking is be a good boy, and when I come from the store, I'll bring you a piece of candy. My mother used to bribe me that way. Was I good? No. Did I get the candy? Most of the time. Okay. Let us therefore think about what's been said. Let us therefore fear. No. Do I have to be afraid? Is it fear in that respect? Or let us have respect. You know, respect for God and His Word. Lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of. Now, how could it be presumed that I'm short of the glory of God, short of the inheritance that God has for it? Well, the moment I start stropping that razor with that strop of good works, you know, nobody gets into the presence of God by their good works. You know, we don't win the souls to Christ, quote unquote, by our good works. We are given the responsibility to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as I look at something, and I did it too, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but we can all go back to the source of man's fall and try to make something good out of it. You know, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so we try to hang that on God. God didn't put it there. The devil put it there. You know, and Adam and Eve already knew good in the sense of good, you know, because they were created in the image of God, and I presume then that they had the attributes of God. So, continuing on now. For unto us, and now we're writing to Jews who have professed faith in Christ, and we're writing that to them to get them to understand their relationship with the Lord. And I've, over the years, I haven't had a lot of contact with Jewish believers, but I've had some contact, and they always go back to they don't want to refer to Jesus as Jesus. Yeah. They want to use His Hebrew name. Yeah. They want to refer to God with His Hebrew name. There isn't a language in the world that is one notch above the other. When were the languages mixed up, and why? God told man to multiply and spread abroad upon the face of the earth. Yeah, but they were building a tower at Babel. And why a tower? Because God had destroyed the world with a flood. And their feeble minds, impractical as it may be, they were building a tower so that God couldn't destroy them with a flood again. So Babel was in rebellion against God. And then, of course, they were all unified, one language, one people, you know, functioning as one. And they were, I don't know how far they got on the temple before God, you know, confounded their languages. Yeah. Now, I just had to send an email to Nigeria, and our missionaries over there, they speak English in a manner of speaking, not as one born into a language, but as one who's learned it to function in it. You know. And, you know, you just have to remind people from time to time, and I lost my thought, so I'll just stop it right here, because I don't want to say something wrong.
Babble.
Languages, you talk about languages.
Yeah, you know, people that speak other languages, they can get an idea from what that word means in that language as to what it means in its original language. And the translators very often in our New Testament, there's a cult out there, mostly amongst Baptists, who try to make the King James Bible to be God's, that God has preserved his word to us in the King James Bible. That's a lie. The King James Bible has translation errors in it. And I could go in and show, one after another. But God can't lie. So that very fact says God did not preserve his word in the King James Bible. He preserved it in the Hebrew and Aramaic text of the Old Testament and the Greek text of the New Testament. And we have those documents. Do we have them all? No. But we have translations that have come from them all, and we have copies that have come from them. Okay. So God's preserved his word to us. So he says, for unto us was the gospel preached. Now the us here are Jews who have had the gospel preached to them, as well as unto them, that is people in the Old Testament. The gospel was preached to the Jews in the sacrificial system, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness. But by and large, the Jews thought, just worked the law over to the to where it made them think they were good. Now, thinking you're good and being good are two different things. How many actual good people are there in the world?
None.
Well, according to the Word of God, none. How many people think they're good? Most. In one degree or another. So we'll come back to this. Let us therefore fear, or be in reverential awe, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. God promised his rest in Jesus Christ. Now, any of you who have professed faith in Christ should seem to come short of, or short of it. Well, how can you come short of God's promise? Exactly the way Eve was deceived. She was made to think that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a good thing, that she was missing something, and she ate of it. And the whole world believes that the key, this is the basis for comparative religions in college. All the religions of the world have at their center some sort or some form of moral system. But therefore, by the deeds of the law, how many people are going to be saved? So the whole world's operating in the lie. All right? So we come back to this. How could we seem to come short of it? Well, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but now you're talking about keeping the Sabbath. Now you're talking about keeping this feast of the Jew and that feast of the Jews. And we should try to keep the Ten Commandments. Rather than resting in your position in Christ, you're actually trying to establish an independent position apart from Christ. That's what happens with all this quote-unquote holy living. So he goes on. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. We're talking about the Jews that came out of Egypt, not being mixed with, what's it say? It says faith. But in the Greek text, it's singular, and it's preceded by the definite article. So we're talking about the body of revealed truth that came from God to man. You know, it's actually the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the faith, okay? And them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath to those Jews that were trying to keep the law, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? There's no rest in law. You know, do you go to work to rest? You're supposed to. Well, it may be mental labor. Yeah, there's all different kinds of work, but there's labor involved of some sort. It may be mental, it may be physical. It may be both mental and physical. But nobody gets into the presence of God by the works of his own hands. And that's the basis of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, and we keep trying to find something good in it. There is nothing good. There's a lot of counterfeit good, but nothing actually good, because it's counterfeit good because of its source, and its source is the devil. Now, I've been trying to say that in my bulletins for months. But that's what it is. The source of the evil tree is not God. The source of the evil tree is the devil. Now, and so he goes on to say, for we which believe do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. In other words, the Jews said, all the Lord has spoken, we will do. They couldn't, but they put themselves between a rock and a hard spot. They were required to live according to the law. What changed it? They had to have a change of mind. They had to say, hey, all this law can do is condemn me. And my gracious God has sent a Savior who the nation is of Israel as a whole, they rejected, because they had the idea, we don't need a Savior. We can do it ourselves. What's the attitude of the world? We're good people. You know, and that's anyone that is trying to justify himself, wants to talk about all the good he's done. You know, never wants to talk about the things that we would easily categorize as evil. Doesn't want to talk about those. Let's forget those. But an omniscient God can't forget them. And if you've sinned, then you're no longer without sin. But they're trying to make the sin that put us in opposition to God, they're trying to make that the source of life. You know, Eve was told it was the source of life. Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, this will make you like God. No, it made us like him. No, the anti-God, the one in rebellion against God, the one who himself desired to be God. And if you don't think that self-righteous people don't think that they are quote-unquote holy, you know, just tell one that they're not, but duck. You know, man is so deceived by the lie. You know, and it doesn't mean that we have to beat ourselves. We don't have to beat ourselves at all. Jesus took our sin, everything that came from that evil tree, you know, even the things that we think were good, but they're not good because they can't produce the results they're supposed to produce. So if I tell you that you can go to heaven by disobeying God, am I lying to you, or am I telling you the truth? Yeah. You can't get to heaven by the life that you live. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Let me bring that to a close. I'll read down to verse 8. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When was Christ crucified? Before the foundation of the world. God is an omniscient God. He knew everything that was happening, and everything happened according to his foreknowledge. It doesn't mean that he made it happen. You know, that's why people, when you talk against the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, they're still trying to make something good out of that tree. And due to a lot of misteaching, people are being taught that tree is the way you live your life. Okay? They don't say it that way, but you are supposed to be a good person, right? And you're supposed to be an example to a lost world, right? The answer to both those questions is wrong. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good. How are we saved? By grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. So when you put it together, you can't get into the presence of God with your pettycake religion. Yeah. It's just impossible. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, or you've got to take the if out, they shall enter into my rest. That is, God has an elect that will enter into his rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, and David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. What has always been the hard heart of the Jews? And in this context, that's who we're talking about. The hard heart is all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's the hard heart. It's not the sins, the sin that's going to send more people to hell than anything else is their knowledge of good and evil. You know, because they think it's the source of life. And actually, it is the source of death. So, or if Joshua had given them rest when they entered into the land of Canaan, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? So people, I guess they've never read the history of Israel in the land of Canaan, because the Jews were constantly in a fight, and they were constantly involved in false religious systems in Canaan. So now we say, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand, and cast the wishful eye. Where? To hell! You know? To every rotten thing you can think of and do. That was what was in Canaan. You know? In some senses of the word, it can be a type of the promise of God. But the Jews never kept the law in Canaan. They didn't keep it in the wilderness, and they haven't kept it during the years of their exile, and they're still not keeping it. They cannot keep it. But we see with this latest battle that's going on, it's interesting. The Arabs launch a sneak attack, and Israel responds, as they always have, with greater force than that which they've been attacked with. You got to get it through those Arabs' heads. This land belongs to us by God's promise. Yeah. And so we have people in the world that think the Jews are the problem. Why? You know, they walk down the street, they walk like a duck, they talk like a duck, must be a duck. They walk like a Christian, they talk like a Christian, but they're not. And they, when God starts doing, and believe me, it's going to get worse. But when God starts doing what he has promised for this world, yeah, he's going to take us out, and all hell is going to be loosed, particularly in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the Word of God. And we recognize from our lesson tonight how important it is for us to know who's speaking and to whom and what the subject is, and that salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done. We can't involve human behavior at all. The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the word of God. Bless in each of our hearts and lives. Bless in the ministries of our missionaries. And we pray, Father, for that you'll continue to use us until you either receive us by death, or by life. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.